It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Live from the Gene Langan Volkswagen of Glastonbury Studios, this is the Rob Dibble Show.
Where sometimes we like to keep up with both baseball and ornithology.
By the way, Blue Jays, Cardinals, two of the most vicious birds I've ever seen. They will fight you for a seed. And it's like, I'm actually kind of impressed by some of the little birds, man. They're it's like the David and Goliath of birddom.
We'll let you guess which one of those is more of the strength.
The ugly birds are the women. So they're not gorgeous in the bird world.
I'm more confused than ever.
Now, alongside Ben Darnell, here's Rob Dibble.
All right, hour number three here on the Rob Dibble Show. We'll talk about spring training and some other notes around Major League Baseball. Start with Domingo German, and we didn't know all of the things because we'd kind of forgotten this guy's case, and rightfully so. It came down to domestic violence. I thought it was performance-enhancing drugs until we looked into how and why he was suspended back in 2019. And he was asked to come into spring training to discuss what happened back in 2019, why he was suspended by Major League Baseball, why he missed all of last season because it was a shortened season, and basically the 60 games represented the 81-game suspension. The Yankees were giving him a second chance to come in, and lo and behold, Domingo German didn't show for the meeting with the players. And so now it's kind of up in the air whether or not Domingo German will show up at spring training at all. He left some cryptic messages on Twitter. And to me, Ben, I mean, this is just a long-standing issue in all sports, and it's kind of is coming to a head because the player rep, Zach Britton, put it out there that he didn't want this guy back on the team. And, you know, barring an apology, you know, still was uncomfortable with this. And this goes back to, you know, the Roberto Osuna thing, or the Astros were basically forced to take on this player from the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm sure the Toronto Blue Jays were happy to trade him and his issues to another organization. I remember this story because it was publicly that he slapped his wife in front of management of Major League Baseball, which in itself is scary, because if this guy is going to hit his wife in public, imagine what he's doing in private. And that's probably what the Yankee players are saying, because it's 2021 and this wasn't acceptable back in 1990 or 1980. Guys would have been all over this player for doing that kind of stuff to a woman. And now in 2021, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are offended in that locker room. And rightfully so. There's other players in that locker room, including Aroldis Chapman, who has had his own domestic violence in his past rear its ugly head. If you forget, this guy shot a gun in a garage down in Miami in the offseason one year and wasn't even charged with anything. So this is something that I'm sure Tony Clark, the Players Association, has discussed. They have left it up to Major League Baseball at their own discretion to give you a one-year suspension, a half-year suspension, a lifetime suspension. I would like to see this go a step further and where it's not Zach Britton having to step up, or a Amir Garrett of the Cincinnati Reds having to go on social media to chastise a player in the union for doing this. Major League Baseball and Tony Clark have to sit down in the new collective bargaining agreement and make it mandatory, maybe a full year suspension, and the second time a lifetime suspension, because this is way worse to me than performance-enhancing drugs. We have rewarded these performance-enhancing drug cheaters with top jobs around Major League Baseball. I'm not going to even get into A-Rod and his crap, but this kind of stuff is unacceptable. It should never happen in private or public. And so this guy, barring an apology, to me, if he never comes back to baseball, I'm fine with that.
The reason that people got tipped off on this a week ago as far as being dissension in the locker room and bringing up to Zach Britton are those cryptic, I think it was to be exact, Instagram messages that were put out that stated, it's over, everything is over. And then to find out that it's quoted MV, which is his fiance's initials, you know, she could have been on his Instagram putting that out about their own personal relationship.
Right.
The media gets a hold of that and then asks Zach Britton about just having Germán on the team or what that means if he is on the team, because Aaron Boone was asked about that. The one thing that is concerning for me in this whole situation, that it is wrapped around the Yankees organization. Right. When you're talking about domestic violence, for the most part, you're talking about someone's private life that is happening away from the organization, away from the team. The first instance of note, as you say, at a dinner, at a function, actually happened to be a charity event for CC Sabathia's charity. So there were a lot of Yankee players there, past, present, and possibly even future Yankees there that were minor leaguers. There were some people that were of not just management for the Yankees, but then worked for Major League Baseball. So saying that and knowing that fact, there's a lot of cover up here. There's a lot of people that saw what happened and didn't say anything about what happened. Also, there's an incident that is noted. I think I am reading a Post article of where Germán's girlfriend was so frantic at the house with Germán. Now, this is private. However, for help, she does not call the police. She calls a wife of a player from the Yankees. Player is not named in this incident in any sort, the Post article or anywhere else. That player and the wife go to Germán's house and act as the peacemakers and calm Domingo down, calm the fiancé down, and that is left at what it is. So the players know, the team knows, everyone knows that this is more than just a quote-unquote mistake or a situation that just happened one time that maybe there's evidence a he said, she said. No, they know facts about this, and they haven't said anything about it, and they still want him on the team.
The Astros minor league player comes to mind, or Ray Rice, or any of these guys where, you know, there's a video of you hitting, whether it's closed fist or an open fist. It doesn't matter. You're a man, and she's a woman, and they should be respected at all times, number one. And you should never use your physical strength to injure, whether it's a kid or a woman or an elderly person. To me, I think you're just despicable and you're scum. And, you know, even in my time, you know, guys even yelling at their wives in front of other players led usually to a fight. I saw it more than on one occasion where players even just talk trash about another guy's girlfriend or wife led to a fight, led to weapons being drawn. I mean, that's how violent guys become because they can't handle, because that's not normal. It's not normal behavior. So forget just trying to live with someone to play baseball. It's hard enough. And I'm sure I was hard to swallow at times with some of my teammates. They couldn't stand me. And rightfully so. I've said this many times. I, you know, at 24 years old, 26 years old, 28 years old, I was not someone that you wanted to be around on a consistent basis. But it never was something that was off the field where I was aggressive towards anybody or even a female. Because that's just not acceptable behavior. So for someone to be in the locker room and now know what you know about the player having to go to his house, him doing it at a charity event, maybe it's he can't handle his alcohol, which is not an excuse at all, which is even scarier because when he's alone and he's drinking or taking anything, he could kill somebody. So, you know, whether it's a child or a woman involved, a lot of guys in 2021 or 1981 don't want to be around another male that is like that. It's as simple as that. It has nothing to do with baseball. It has nothing. It could be any job where it's offensive behavior. And so for me, it's just listen and don't try to start with the culture crap either. You know, I'm more of the on the physically side. This is a big guy. And I'm sure his fiance is 100 pounds, maybe 120, 30, 40 pounds lighter. One punch could kill her. And that's enough to make me want to do something physically to that guy and say, listen, dude, you want to hit somebody? Hit me. You know, I'm 250 pounds. Hit me. And I'm sure that CC Sabathia or any of these guys that has a backbone would have said the same thing to this guy in private. And so Zach Britton is just speaking for his teammates saying, listen, I know management loves this guy's baseball ability. We don't want this guy on the team. Do something with him. And this has happened in other organizations, and they've gotten rid of guys for doing this kind of stuff. And I'm sure the Roberto Osuna crap, I'm sure those guys went to management and said, listen, this guy, yeah, he's a great closer. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here before we hurt him. And that's one of the reasons that this guy was traded to another organization. And, of course, the Astros, of all the organizations, were willing to take this guy because you're cheating you-know-whats. So beyond the other crap that you were doing, you're like, ah, you know what? So this guy likes to beat on his wife or girlfriend. We'll take this guy because he could throw a baseball. That just shows me what's going on in upper management. And, it happens in every sport. It doesn't make it right. You know, it makes it even more wrong that you know more about this story than everybody else. To me, that's an easy out for the Yankees to be like, nope, you're not coming back here. We're going to give you your outright release. You can move on.
It's more than a huge dark cloud in a locker room. It's something that's not discussed. Like, guys aren't going to sit there, because I remember being a college freshman and learning that our linebacker had a domestic violence instance that he will be suspended for the first half of a football game, just the first half. And it's like, we all know about it. We all, like, you know, are side eyeing, but we don't want to get in the middle of it because it's, you know, quote unquote, not our business or whatever. But it is in the locker room. It comes with you out on the field. And I thought this back in the Ray Rice days. I think this with Greg Hardy and the Carolina Panthers and the That's Dallas right. Cowboys. Like, these guys bring such a stink, a bad cloud, a horrible feeling to your team, to how you perform, to your locker room, to your culture. And yeah, it bleeds into the brand that you wear on your chest. I always say, you don't need them. You can do without them. I don't care how good they are. You don't need them.
Right.
And, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have dealt with this in a couple different fashions. Tariq Hill, they've given a second chance to. Kareem Hunt, they gave a second chance to. And as soon as he broke it, they sent him packing. They realized they do not need him. They've been just fine without Kareem Hunt. And I think, too, if they got rid of Tariq Hill, they would have been just fine without Tariq Hill. You really don't need him. You don't need him.
Who's the dude with the Seahawks that's like 350 pounds that just pummeled his girlfriend?
Just happened.
I mean, it just happened a week ago. And it's and you make a great point. Let me just get on that point. It makes everybody in the locker room look like we accept this behavior.
Correct.
And we don't.
Right.
We don't. I guarantee you that so many of the guys in that Astros locker room couldn't even look at this guy.
Right.
And I don't care how, you know, now it's like, okay, now I got to kind of go with the program because he just got the save tonight. And what, give him a fist bump? I want to freaking knock the guy's lights out. You know, and think of how difficult that is on just the well-being, the mental health. We talk about mental health. Talk about this for a second. Having to live with guys like that. And whether it was Greg Hardy on the Cowboys, and so many guys that probably do things about, you know, assault and battery on women, and or are married to women that do things to help battered women. And now all of a sudden, okay, we're going to take this guy who batters women. It's like, are you kidding me? And it's just because that guy can rush the passer, or somebody could throw a baseball, or someone could protect the passer like this guy. And see, I mean, nobody is worth that. Really, they're not. And it's a reflection on all of us, even retired players. I'm still at odds with the whole Roberto Osuna thing. I played against his dad.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to get into the things I think about his dad when he played for the Astros. And it's like, so nobody condones that stuff, but Major League Baseball makes it seem like we condone this Domingo Germán story. No, we don't. And I don't care if you're Joe Torre or Rob Manfred, you got to put an end to it. And you got to be strong enough to say, listen, you are not allowed to play. It's a gift. It is an absolute honor and a blessing to play in the major leagues. And once you give up that membership card by striking a female or a kid or anybody for that matter, you're done. You're done. You're out of the fraternity, because I don't want you in the fraternity.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of the people, oh my God, if I told this story to Norm Charlton, Norm would lose his mind. Norm's from a, you want to talk about culture just from the United States of hitting a woman? Seriously. I mean, so the scary part about it is now you're shoving it down the Yankees players' throats that we need to take this guy back. Even if he comes in and apologizes. I swung at a 2-0 pitch, and I had to apologize to my teammates for them to take me back on the team. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine, because they laughed about it and gave me big hugs and stuff after. Because that's what management made me do in 1989. Tommy Helms and the Reds made me do that because they said I was a selfish player. Think about how awful this is that the Yankees in 2021 are being faced with knowing what we know about this guy, and we have to take him on our team.
It's just amazing to me that we are in 2021, and Ray Rice did not start this. He was one of the biggest high-profile ones that got caught on tape, and this continues to happen. And we had this conversation 10 years after Ray Rice, and I feel like we're going to have this conversation 10 years from now,
I
don't understand why Major League Baseball, NFL, NCAA, high school football, college football, there's so many leagues and examples that put up with something like this, that they don't need it. They don't have to. They don't deserve second chances for these people. And I'm just waiting for someone to get the idea where we need to set serious examples. Right. And Domingo Germán, I'm sorry, he's not a high-profile enough player that even if you take him off Major League Baseball, it's going to make a huge difference.
Right.
It's going to be tough to change the world completely, but
no,
you can do what you can do.
It's one positive blip, and you make a great point. It's not like we're trying to set a new standard here.
Right.
We're just trying to go and move in a positive direction here, because women deserve that. Can you imagine the women that support Major League Baseball, like my wife? She was the first one to quickly state, listen, if this guy slaps her in public, what do you think he does to her when they're at home and he's had a few pops?
True.
Think of how bad her life is, like you said, how frantic she is and how scared, because to report him is going to hurt his career. To report him to the authorities, she's going to be shunned. That's an awful precedent that we have put on women. It's just brutal to me that we have to discuss that.
Well, I don't want to discuss it anymore. Don't give all this time to Domingo Germán, because you got to teach me about Stan Williams.
All right, so Stan Williams was my pitching coach back in 1990. He came over with Lou Piniella when he was brought in to take over for Pete Rose. And Stan Williams stood about 6'6", was a massive human being, and even in his late 50s, early 60s, still threw 80 miles an hour in batting practice. I mean, okay, so this guy was no joke.
Thanks, man.
No joke to try to hit off of. And we go in there, and we're kind of like candy butts, and we go in there, and we're just trying to bunt, lay down some bunts, right side, left side, take a few hacks and act like, superstars at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then let the real hitters get in there when the everyday players came out. Steamer's throwing changeups to you. He's firing at you, throwing, you'd hit a home run and kind of look at it, don't you watch that, And so, but the beauty was knowing his background, that he played with Drysdale and Koufax. He was part of the 59 championship team. But, man, he had an aura about him of he didn't take anything off of anybody. Even in brawls, he was in there pulling dudes out with one hand and protecting the Reds and protecting us. And, he was always there, like, Lou's right-hand guy. Jackie Moore was the bench coach, but Steamer was like a bodyguard. I mean, he was unbelievable. But a great teacher of pitching, and had respect for you. He was never belittling. I had pitching coaches before him that mechanically hated the way my mechanics looked because they weren't pretty. I had a high leg kick. I had a herky-jerky motion. But for him, he was like, listen, you have great leverage. You have great balance. He goes, how many other guys could kick their leg up to their chin and still throw a strike? He used to joke about it all the time. But he was there to tweak it when it needed to be tweaked. But for the most part, he was was as funny a human being and as full of life every moment we were around that guy. As Norm Charlton said today, one of the best people we've ever met. Because when the times were the worst, that's when he was at his best, cheering people up, cracking jokes, making sure Lou didn't like lose his mind too much. You know, he was always there to kind of settle things down and, you know, used like his experience around Major League Baseball for 50 years to basically help us win a championship back in 1990.
Yeah, 1999, his final coaching appearance, a baseball lifer. He was born in New Hampshire back in 1936, passed away yesterday in Nevada. A death that the family somewhat expected. He had been battling some cardiac pulmonary disease for a little bit. So he will be missed. And across baseball, I mean, two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champ, one as a player, one as a coach.
Yep.
His final appearance was with the Boston Red Sox back on August 1st, 1972.
Yep. He was a scout, longtime scout. I mean, I would bump into him. He was a Royal scout when they were having their good years and they got to the World Series and won one. He was with the Nationals when I was working down there in 2009, 2010, all over baseball because he was highly respected. You know, he was the type of guy that he recognized talent, whether they threw 99 or they threw 79. I mean, he didn't care. You know, he was able to look at people and judge, can this guy actually pitch at the major league level? So that's why I think he was so trusted for so many years. But it's funny because the picture that I pulled up of him today, he's wearing Sandy Koufax's glove. Because he was such a goofball. And Sandy Koufax, who's known as kind of being a little bit tight and more reserved, is wearing Stan's glove in the picture, which I'm sure that it has gone around in circles going, well, Sandy Koufax didn't throw right-handed and Stan Williams threw right-handed. He didn't throw left-handed. So that's just knowing that these guys were pulling a little kind of scam on the photographer back in the day.
And a heck of an eye for talent. He was a scout for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yep.
Back when they were known as the Devil Rays until 2006. And then an advanced scout for the Washington Nationals from about 07 to 2010.
Now, an advanced scout goes to the next town before you go there. So say the Nationals are going to play the Mets. He would go watch the Mets for a couple weeks. He'd write down the hot hitters, the good pitchers, and all the different things that he saw what they were doing for that two-week period. He'd report back to the Nationals and the coaching staff and give you all of his notes. And so then as you go into town to play the Mets, you've got that advanced scouting report. That's what the advanced scouts do.
Hell of a dude, man.
Oh, dude.
A huge guy.
Dude, I can't tell you a lot of the jokes he said on the air, but some of the things that he would pull, you couldn't get away with now. I mean, he'd be in a lot of trouble because he was from the 50s. He played in the 50s, grew up then, kind of had that old school mentality, but he was always a gentleman when he needed to be. And he was always, especially around the wives. I mean, he was the first one to defend us around the wives and stuff like that. And that's what I always appreciated about him, because just like, with Lou and Lou's wife, Anita, you needed kind of the older, presence around, because there was always a lot of this stuff. You know, we talk about the Domingo German thing. That stuff happened back in my day. That stuff's been happening throughout baseball. And, but there's a certain amount of stress, even with the coaches, that you need guys like Stan Williams to help Lou Piniella get over guys like me and Norm and Randy. And you need the wives of the coaches to be there. A lot of high divorce rate in Major League Baseball, high alcoholism rate and drug abuse rate in Major League Baseball. And because of stress level, it's a sport built on failure. And so it's sad when we lose somebody like Stan Williams, because so many people loved being around that guy. He was a great teacher.
He really runs the gamut of Major League Baseball, part of the Brooklyn amateur
yep.
Dodgers. And then when they move to L.A., that's when he makes his Major League debut. So sees like both sides of being a Dodger, And then,
now, what did you say his nickname was? Because we called him Steamer, because there was a Stanley Steamer, which is still around, by the way. It's
right.
A company that cleans your carpets.
I was so. Wondering where Steamer came from.
Well, I kind of think it's because he cleans your clock. And I think that's probably where he gets the nickname from.
Well, he was the original Big Hurt.
Right.
and also known as Big Daddy.
Well, I'll finish with this. So he kept a little black book or a little journal where he would put like a skull and crossbones in there if he hit you. And then he'd have other, like, you know, different little things if he had maybe missed you and was trying to hit you, but you were on this list. And so...
a hit list.
Oh, yeah. It was an absolute hit list. Now, he explained it, too. And, you know, which is funny because, you know, like Deacon Jones, you know, he coined the phrase sack. And he was a sack master. And he talked about getting paid bonuses for, you know, putting the sack down on the quarterback. Well, Stan, you know, Steamer, he told me that, listen, you know, he would be basically taking money out of his contract if he walked more than 100 in a season. And he was. He had some wild years if you look at his numbers. But he also, that's why he would hit you. Because when he got around 85, 90, he knew, okay, I'm about 10 away from losing money. Hit by pitch is not considered a walk. And so they couldn't use that against him when it came to contracts and stuff like that. So that's why he would start to hit guys when he'd have a 2-0 or a 3-0 count. He would just drill you instead of taking the walk.
Of course. Yeah.
So this quickly, as we have to go to break, he hit Hank Aaron in the neck.
Yep.
And sure Hank did. Aaron, the next day at the batting thing, when, you know, back then the pitchers hit, there was no designated hitter. So, you know, Steamer is standing there. Now, he's a huge guy. Now, Hank Aaron's 6'2", maybe 210. So he's given away probably 50, 60 pounds and 5 inches, 4 inches to Steamer. And plus, Steamer had the reputation, like Don Drysdale and Koufax or Bob Gibson, as they would throw at your head. And back in the 50s, they didn't have helmets. They just had, like, you know, their hats on. So,
wow.
Hank walks up to him and he goes, "Steamer, man, what's wrong with you?" Because they were friends. I mean, they knew each other for many, many years. And he goes, "Why'd you hit me in the neck?" And Steamer, in unflattering, you know, terms, was like, "Because I was aiming for your effing head." And then Hank, just his eyes got really big. And he said, "No, man, I'm sorry." He goes, "You know, I would never try to hurt you, man." And so they kind of laughed it off and stuff like that. But honestly, I totally believe Steamer was being honest.
Hank Aaron was quoted by saying that he is the pitcher that he feared the most.
I think a lot of guys would say that too. Stan Williams, rest in peace, buddy. Pour one out for him.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Evan Marinofsky next. Let's talk some Boston Bruins. Nothing could be cooler than getting to play right in front of, what is it, Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe.
I was thinking Lake Placid because of the anniversary of today. But Lake Tahoe, and having them build a whole rink just for you to play is pretty awesome. We'll talk to Evan next on the Rob Dibble Show. Ben Darnell on your afternoon drive.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.